So how was that meditation for you? Did you feel a sense of awe about the unfolding of this unbelievable cosmos and of life itself? Did you get a sense of yourself as a creative impulse that we are all a part of this ongoing evolution of the universe? It brought to mind a very special poem inspired by Stephen Hawking, written by the poet Marie Howe, and it's called Singularity. Do you sometimes want to wake up to the singularity we once were? So compact, nobody needed a bed or food or money. Nobody hiding in the school bathroom or home alone pulling open the drawer where the pills are kept. For every atom belonging to me, as good as belongs to you. Remember? There was no nature, no them, no tests to determine if the elephant grieves her calf or if the coral reefs feel pain. Trashed oceans don't speak English or Farsi or French. Would that we could wake up to what we were when we were ocean. And before that, to when sky was earth, and animal was energy, and rock was liquid, and stars were space, and space was not at all nothing. Before we came to believe humans were so important, before this awful loneliness, can molecules recall it? What once was? Before anything happened, no I, no we, no one, no was, no verb, no noun, only a tiny, tiny dot brimming with is. All, everything. Home. Anyone feel awe? Awe about the singularity? About this extraordinary existence of which we are all a part? Earlier this year, I had a moment of awe in which I felt that sense of oneness with everything. I had the privilege of visiting high snow-covered mountains on holiday with my family. And one day we took a cable car up the mountain, and at the top, there were breathtaking views of glaciers and peaks covered in ice and snow and dirt and rocks, all wild and powerful, mostly untouched by humanity. And the wind was blowing clouds of drifting snow. And the mountain peaks towered over us on all sides, glistening with blue sky behind. And facing me was a jagged mountain with a narrow grade, which I knew many climbers had scaled as a life challenge, some of them not returning to tell their story. And I stood there staring into the vast abyss of the glacier below, with a mountain soaring like a giant amphitheater all around me. And much to my surprise, I began spontaneously sobbing. The sight was so breathtakingly beautiful and powerful. I felt so small and insignificant in the face of those majestic mountains, and yet, in some way, I felt at one with them. It was completely awe-inspiring. I could barely catch my breath, and all I could do was let tears of joy stream down my face as I marveled at the vast silence and the grandeur of it all. And my heart seemed to burst open, taking in the magnificence of existence and the extraordinary gift of being alive. I felt at one with nature, with the fragility and the brief gift of this existence. And with that moment in time. And it was actually a profound spiritual experience for me. I just wanted to drop to my knees in gratitude, but my family were nearby and I felt too embarrassed to do that. But it was an experience I'll never forget. I was absolutely awestruck. I'm guessing that many of you have had experiences of awe in one way or another during your life. Can I see a show of hands? Yeah, that looks like almost all of you. Awe at the birth of a child. Awe in the face of natural wonders. Awe when hearing an exquisitely beautiful piece of music or seeing a glorious work of art. Awe standing in a cathedral with sun filtering through stained glass windows or at the foot of ancient ruins. Awe staring at the night sky. Awe watching a butterfly emerge from a cocoon. Awe when tasting an exquisite morsel of food. Awe when watching a waterfall cascade or standing among a grove of redwoods or sequoias. Or watching a homeless person give their last piece of food to another. Or in the presence of kindness and generosity. Or in the face of millions gathering to protest climate change. Or at the cadence and commitment of a Martin Luther King speech. The list is endless, isn't it? In fact, the more we start seeing the world with wonder and paying attention to details, the more we're likely to find awe in even ordinary, everyday things that surround us. Dacher Keltner, world's leading scientist on awe, director of the Greater Good Science Center at the University of Berkeley, describes awe as the feeling of being in the presence of something vast that transcends your understanding of the world. Now, for the first 2,000 years of recorded human history, awe was considered mostly a spiritual or religious phenomenon. But the Greater Good Science Center has discovered that it's something that we're all capable of experiencing, and a feeling uniquely different that differentiates us from other mammals. Scientists have actually uncovered some extraordinary effects of experiencing awe. Awe apparently creates a sense of an expanded self, and I don't know how many of you got to experience that during our meditation. It leads to greater generosity, humility, and compassion. And their experiments have shown that when people are exposed to an experience of awe, they're more likely to be compassionate and help others afterwards. Awe can seemingly help us find greater purpose in life, greater perspective and creativity. In addition to leading to an increase in our curiosity and reasoning capacity, experiences of awe are said to lead to more robust health and a calmed nervous system. Even brief doses of awe, they say, can move us from self-interest and narcissism to more collective interest. So it sounds like we should actively pursue moments of awe to evoke some of these effects in our lives, doesn't it? Yeah. That it could be a vital part of a spiritual practice that helps us be more compassionate, more connected to everyone and everything, leading us to greater humility around the mystery and magnificence of this existence. But what about the time, my friends, what about the time when we can't experience awe at all? When it seems impossible to feel awe about anything? I remember a time when my heart was hurting and life felt gray. and stuck and painful. A time when, no matter how much I longed for it, I wasn't able to see the beauty around me because I was struggling. Life felt hard. Possibility and color, aliveness and mystery seemed to have disappeared. Nothing elicited awe in me. And some of us have those times in life, don't we? Times when it may be hard to get out of bed. Times when we want to just hide under the cover in shame or pain. Times when we feel depressed or alone. When we feel disconnected from ourselves and others. Times when we're struggling with a broken heart, a great loss, a major illness, or financial stresses. Times when our loved ones are sick or dying. Times when life seems overwhelming or purposeless and awful would be more accurate than awesome. Now, feeling that way can be especially hard during this time of year, can't it? When most people are preparing to celebrate the holidays, and all of society is telling us to be happy, love your family, sing songs of joy, and eat delicious food, enjoy giving and receiving presents. These are times when we're expected to feel joy and awe. Yet for some, in the midst of these difficult times, this can just seem impossible or too far out of reach. What I've learned helps most in those moments is not to force anything, not to push ourselves or add insult to injury by shaming ourselves for feeling that way, not to try and fake it when cheer and joy seem far from our repertoire, but rather to offer ourselves tender self-compassion, to cradle ourselves gently and allow time, quiet, and a chance to just be. Like a cat or a dog can spend hours licking a wound, we too need to take time to be with ourselves in a compassionate, caring way in hard times. And it may take days, it may take weeks or months, to regain a sense of inner aliveness. But one thing I know. One thing I know that we experienced during that meditation is that life itself is constantly evolving and changing. That we are constantly evolving and changing. And the one thing we can count on, the one thing we can count on other than death, is that life is change. Everything transforms and is either reborn, grows, or dies. So, my friends, if you're in the middle of a hard time right now, trust that this too will change. That there will again be a time when you experience awe at this existence. That there will again be a time when that flame of life within you will be sparked by something beautiful, something tender, something magnificent, something profound. Indeed, perhaps we're surrounded by such experiences all the time. And we need to begin by seeing the extraordinary in the commonplace. The famous storyteller Hans Christian Andersen said, "The whole world is a series of miracles, but we're so used to them that we call them everyday things." I invite you to notice these miracles that are everyday things, the simple wonder of your heart beating involuntarily, and your breath nourishing your body day in and day out. The simple magic of our hands able to grasp, touch, and feel. The perfect magnificence of a bee buzzing or a bud blooming. It only takes a conversation with someone who is nearing the end of their life to realize the preciousness of life, of every new sunrise and sunset, of every conversation and hug. To quote a Jewish prayer book, were the sun to rise but once a year, we would all cry out, "How glorious!" Our hymns would rise up, our thanks would ascend. Oh God, give us new eyes and vision to see the world anew each day. So whether you're feeling full of the magic of the season right now, or you need some encouragement to make it through difficult days, I invite you all to pause, slow down. Breathe in the miracle of this moment. Take a breath with me now. One of the easiest ways to reconnect with your sense of awe is to go outside, to be out in nature and notice the sheer magic of a flower or a tree. You can see them in the background there. Or a mountain vista or a wild wave. And we have all that possibility surrounding us right here. Our Unitarian forefather, Ralph Waldo Emerson, writes in his book, Nature, "In the woods, we return to reason and faith. There I feel that nothing can befall me in life, no disgrace, no calamity, which nature cannot repair. Standing on the bare ground, my head bathed by the blithe air and uplifted into infinite space, all mean egotism vanishes. I become a transparent eyeball. I am nothing. I see all. The currents of the universal being circulate through me. I am part or particle of God. The name of the nearest friend sounds then foreign and accidental. To be brothers, to be acquaintances, master or servant is then a trifle and a disturbance. I am the lover of uncontained and immortal beauty," he writes. Emerson calls us to experience the exquisiteness of nature in all its forms as a healing balm for what ails us, to immerse ourselves in it and worship it around us everywhere. As another of our Unitarian ancestors, Reverend Jacob Trapp, said, "To worship is to stand in awe under a heaven of stars, before a flower, a leaf in the sunlight, or a grain of sand. To worship is to be silent, receptive, before a tree astir with the wind or the passing shadow of a cloud." My friends, may we worship this blessed life we are given. May we allow our breath to catch as we wonder at the magnificence surrounding us. And may we find everyday experiences of awe in our lives and worship this precious ground that we walk on, this precious life we experience for the tiniest blink of time. May it be so.